Dr. Christian's office.
The Vaseline Program, the only show in radio where the audience writes the scripts. Stories right from the heart of America, written by the people of America, woven around that beloved American character, the family doctor. This week marks the start of another year of the Dr. Christian program on your radio. So, to celebrate our 12th birthday, we present a fine prize play called Old Battle Axe by Margaret Lowry of Los Angeles, California. Gene Hirschold is starred in his famous role of Dr. Christian, with screen actress Rosemary DeCamp in the role of Judy Price, the perfect secretary. Soft lights and sweet music. The perfect setting for your girl to look up at you and sigh.
Ooh, ooh.
But she won't if the appearance of your hair makes her think...
Uh-oh, dry scalp.
Dull, dry hair that's hard to comb. Loose dandruff on your collar. Those are signs of dry scalp. Better check that dry scalp and keep your hair looking its natural best with famous Vaseline Hair Tonic. You know, your hair depends on tiny glands in your scalp to provide the natural oils it needs. And when they don't supply enough, you get that dry scalp look. But a little Vaseline Hair Tonic supplements the natural oils, makes your hair look like a million, relieves that tight, itchy feeling and loose dandruff, too. So, for double care of scalp and hair, get a green and white bottle of Vaseline Hair Tonic right away. Yes, use Vaseline Hair Tonic regularly, and that girl won't think...
Uh-oh, dry scalp.
Now for our prize play, Old Battle Axe. The action begins in Dr. Christian's familiar office in the old White House on the corner of State Street and the River Road. It is a gray autumn afternoon, and the doctor looks up from behind his paper-strewn desk as the door opens, and Judy Price, his perfect secretary, enters.
Yes, Judy?
You'd better get rid of those papers all over your desk, Dr. Christian, and straighten your tie.
Get rid of these papers? Straighten my tie?
Yeah, so you'll have them done for you.
What are you talking about, Judy?
Your next patient, Old Battle Axe.
Judy.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dr. Christian. I guess I just got used to calling her that when she was my teacher in grade school. Three generations of Rivers End kids have called Miss Sarah Adams Old Battle Axe.
You better ask her to come in, please.
Yes,
Miss Adams, Dr. Christian will see you now.
It's about time.
Oh, Sarah, come in. How are you?
Would I be coming to see a doctor if I were all right?
Sit down, Sarah, please.
Sarah. Seems you're about the only one left in Riversend who knows I even have a first name.
Well, Sarah, what is it? Your heart again?
I've had several bad attacks lately.
You should have called me.
They went away. But anyway, I'm not taking any more chances. I'm retiring.
You mean you're not going to teach school anymore?
Didn't you advise me to take it easy?
But I never thought you'd retire. My teaching school is a part of your life. I can't imagine you without children around you.
Children? Would you like to know the truth, Paul Christian? I loathe children.
Ah, you're joking, Sarah.
I never joke.
But I can remember back when you first started to teach school. You told me you couldn't think of anything you would rather do than be with children. To help mold their lives.
That was 40 years ago.
40 years. Doesn't seem possible.
Well, it is. And you know what that means, Paul Christian? That means an average of 40 children twice a year pass through my classroom. 3,200 children in 40 years. I never want to see another child as long as I live.
When does this retirement of yours take effect?
Immediately.
Wonder why I haven't heard of it.
Well, I didn't want any sloppy stuff in the papers. I did my job and I got paid for it. Same as if I were in any other line of business.
Well, I'm a little sorry.
Well, I'm not. I'm glad. Glad I won't ever again have to teach another reluctant little brat.
I see. Well, one consolation... Now you'll be able to take that trip around the world you always spoke about.
On the pension money I'm going to get?
But I thought you said you had that money put aside.
Yes, I did. Up until a few years ago. Then I found another use for it.
Well, what will you do with yourself now?
I don't know.
You're going to stay here in Riversend, I hope.
Well, for the past 30-odd years, I've lived in the cottage on the school grounds. But now they'll need the place for the new teacher. So unless I can find someplace else here in town to live, someplace I can afford, I guess I won't stay.
Oh, wait a second. Maybe I know of a place you can afford. Judy. Judy.
Yes, Dr. Christian.
Judy, you know if the Crandalls still have that furnished room for rent?
I think they do.
Good. If you'll please give the address to Miss Adams. Well, anything wrong, Judy?
Well, yes, Dr. Christian. Have you forgotten about David?
David?
Oh, he's the Crandall's little boy. He's five.
A five-year-old boy? Well, count me out right now. Imagine the noise he'd make. A wild Indian all over the house.
No, Sarah. I think you'd find David quite different.
Different? A five-year-old boy that's different?
Yes, Sarah. David is blind.
Oh, that's too bad.
If I were you, Sarah, I'd go and look at the Crandall's place.
Well, I don't suppose it would hurt to look.
Judy, you have the address, haven't you?
Yes, it's 642 Orchard Road.
642 Orchard Road.
Mm-hmm. And here's your prescription. Let me know how you make out, Sarah.
I suppose I should say thanks. But I'll just wait until I see the room. Good day. Oh, I would forget my glasses. Can't read a thing without them. Oh, little boy.
Yes, ma'am?
Will you read the numbers on these houses for me, please? I can't see very well without my glasses.
I'm sorry, ma'am. I can't see either. I'm blind.
Oh, well, I shouldn't think it'd be very safe for you out here in the street all alone.
Well, I'm a big boy now, ma'am. I'm 5 years old. Besides, I live right in this block. I know every bit of it and never go past the curb.
You're 5 years old? Live on this block? Oh, you must be the Crandall's little boy.
I am.
Well, then you can tell me where your house is.
Oh, sure. You coming to live with us?
I don't know yet. Dr. Christian told me there was a room for rent at your house. Is it gone yet?
I don't know. But if you give me your hand, I'll take you to Mommy.
What?
My name's David. What's yours?
Miss Adams.
Gee, that's a nice name. You like my Mommy. She's pretty.
Pretty? I thought you couldn't see.
Oh, I see your face with my fingers. It's soft and smiley.
It's soft and smiling.
Oh, have you seen my Mommy?
No, I met... Oh, skip it.
My daddy's nice, too. His name is Bruce. This is our house right here.
Something ought to be done about those atrocious curtains at the front windows.
Careful, Miss Adams. This next step's the top.
Hmm. Oh, thank you, David. You seem to do quite well. Oh, good heavens. Something should be done to soften that doorbell. It's loud enough to wake the dead in the next county.
David, darling, I wish you wouldn't use the front door. Mother's very tired. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought David was alone. I didn't see you.
Mommy, this is Miss Adams. She wants to come live with us.
Oh, you must be the party Dr. Christian phoned and said was on her way over. Well, I'm Mrs. Bruce Crandall.
Has the room been rented?
No, not yet, Miss Adams. Won't you come in, please? I'll show you to the room. It's right upstairs.
Upstairs? Oh, I'm afraid my heart would never be able...
Oh, it's a very short flight of stairs. Come in, please.
I'll go play some more, Mommy. Goodbye, Miss Adams. I hope you like the room, because I like you.
Well,
it isn't a very large room, Miss Adams, but it is clean and quiet.
I can't stand noise.
Well, here we are. See? Nice big bay window overlooking our garden. Gets the morning sun, too.
How much are you asking?
$12 a week, with meals, of course.
Reasonable enough. I'll have my things moved in this evening. By the way, that little boy of yours...
David?
Yes. Do you think it's safe for him running outdoors all alone?
Oh, of course, Miss Adams. He's very careful. You see, we're trying to bring him up to feel as normal as possible.
Well, I don't approve of such things.
Well, maybe that's because you don't understand children.
Don't understand children? Well, I'll have you know, I've had 3,000 children.
You've had 3,000 children?
I mean, I taught that many. I've been a teacher here in Rivers End for the past 40 years. I'm retired now.
Oh, well, I didn't know that. Well, I think it'll be just wonderful having a school teacher living with us. Wonderful for David and all of us.
Crandall.
Oh, it's you, Miss Adams.
What have you been told about using the front door?
But,
There are no buts, Mr. Crandall. Look at your shoes.
I can't help it if I get a little grease and oil on them. After all, I work in a machine shop.
I'm sorry, Mr. Crandall. From now on, the family uses the back door. There's no necessity for your poor wife to clean this front hallway every day.
Well, I don't mind, Miss Adams.
Now, my dear, we'll do as I say. And save everyone a lot of unnecessary work.
Now, look here.
Bruce, please.
Oh, all right. I'll go around the back.
David, it's time for bed.
Why, it's only 7:30. David's got another hour left.
David stays up entirely too late for a child his age. He's got to get to bed earlier.
Now, wait a second. Jean arranged this so he can sleep late in the morning so he can spend more time together.
Nonsense.
With me.
It's the sleep you get before midnight that does the most good.
Now, look here. I ain't gonna...
I ain't. Such grammar.
I don't care about my grammar or nothing else. Nobody's gonna tell me.
Bruce, darling, please. Miss Adams has had years of experience with children. She knows what's best for David.
Along you go, David. Kiss everyone goodnight. And make sure you kiss them on the cheek. Never on the lips. It's unsanitary.
Oh, for the love of Mike. Jean!
Yes, Bruce?
My chair. My big, easy chair that's set over by the window. Where is it?
Oh, I'm sorry, darling, but... Miss Adams said it clashed with the rest of the furniture in the room, and I...
Is that so? Well, I don't give two hoots and a holler what it clashes with. That's my chair, and I want it. Where is it?
I sold it to the junk man this morning.
Bruce, what's the matter? What's the idea of avoiding me?
Don't look so innocent, Dr. Christian. You know very well what's the matter. You're the one who wished old Battle Axe on us.
You can't mean Miss Adams.
I mean Miss Adams.
What's she done?
What hasn't she done? Look, in 2 weeks, she's turned my home upside down. She's changed the furniture around, had the doorbell made softer, made Jean take the lace curtains down from the front windows, makes me put on a tie and a coat for dinner, makes me use the back door when I come home from work, tells David what time to get up and when to go to bed and exactly what he's going to do all day long. And try to say two words in front of her without her butting in and telling you you're using a double something or splitting something else. And you're asking me what's wrong.
Well, I had no idea, Bruce.
That ain't the... I mean, that's not the worst of it. She's got Jean under some kind of a spell. David, too. He follows her around like a puppy dog. Boy, it gripes me and Hal.
I'm sorry, Bruce. Maybe I ought to drop around to your house and have a talk with Miss Adams and... try to make her see the light.
Well, you'd better, Dr. Christian, because if you don't, I'm gonna not be responsible for what happens.
Dr. Christian.
Hello, Sarah.
Come in.
Thanks, Sarah. I thought I'd drop in and see how you were getting along.
Fine, just fine.
All alone?
Yes, David went shopping with his mother, and Bruce is working.
Oh, so it's Bruce.
Oh, yes. We're all just one big, happy family here.
Haven't there been quite a few changes made? Seems to me the furniture has been moved around, different curtains.
Oh, dear me, yes. The poor people. When I came here, they didn't know a thing about keeping a home properly or bringing up a child. Had to start right from scratch and teach them all over again.
Sarah, have you ever stopped to think that some people don't like to be taught all over again? You might be offending them and not know it.
If I were offending them, Paul Christian, I'd know in a minute. But I'm not. And they're much better for it, all three of them. Education never hurt anybody.
Sarah, I'd feel much better if you'd stop meddling.
Not on your life, Dr. Christian. The Crandalls are making progress every day, and you're the person responsible.
Yes, I know. That's exactly what I'm worried about.
Liver again? Jean, you know how I hate this stuff.
Liver is very good for you. It should be eaten every week.
Well, I don't like it, and I ain't gonna eat it.
Mommy, I don't like liver either.
Now, David, you eat your liver like a good boy.
Do I have to? I eat all the other stuff on my plate.
No, David, you don't have to eat liver.
Bruce, what are you doing with that platter?
I'm taking this liver off the table. I don't intend eating it, and that's flat.
Well, I like that.
I don't care whether you do or not. This liver's going off the table.
Oh, I don't feel well.
Miss Adams, what is it?
That pain again around my heart. I'll go upstairs to my room and lie down. I couldn't eat another mouthful anyway. Fine gratitude. All I tried to do was help.
Well, we don't want any of your help. We did fine before you came along, and we'll do fine after you're gone.
Bruce, please. I'll go upstairs with you, Miss Adams.
No, no, no. You stay here. I'll go upstairs alone. I know when I'm not wanted.
Now, you've gone and hurt her feelings.
I've hurt her feelings. What about my feelings? Whose house is this, anyway?
Yours.
Well, nobody'd ever know it.
She sounds like she's getting worse, Bruce. Maybe you'd better call Dr. Christian right away.
Gosh, Dr. Christian, I thought she was just faking. If I'd known...
Now, don't go blaming yourself, Bruce. She probably would have had the attack whether you raised your voice or not. That's one of the reasons she retired from teaching school. She's had this heart condition for years.
Well, will she get better?
Oh, she'll probably be up and around again in a few days. Providing, of course, that she rests and takes the medicine I've prescribed regularly.
I'll nurse her, Dr. Christian. I'll make sure she rests and takes the medicine regular.
Regularly, David. she got me doing it now.
Well, David, I'm leaving Miss Adams in your charge.
Don't you worry, Dr. Christian. I'll be just as strict as she is.
David, you startled me. I didn't know you were sitting there at the foot of my bed.
I'm your nurse.
Oh, and you've been a very faithful nurse, David. But now I'm getting up and getting dressed.
Dr. Christian said you've got to stay in bed.
But I...
No buts, Miss Adams. You've got to stay in bed.
Now, you see here, Master David Crandall. I'm not taking orders from any little...
You give orders, you've got to take orders. You told me so yourself, you did.
I know all about that. But this happens to be different.
Nope. Dr. Christian put me in charge. And he said, you've got to stay in bed. You've got to take your medicine again, too.
No.
It's time. Here.
Oh.
Go on. Open your mouth.
Mm.
And then you can tell me all about the pretty things you always wanted to see all around the world.
That little scallywag isn't going to keep me in bed tonight. While he's asleep, I'm going downstairs and get something to eat. Even if it is against Dr. Christian's orders. I'm not... Oh. Oh, must be quiet passing David's room. Mustn't wake him up.
Before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. God bless Mommy and Daddy and everybody. Especially Miss Adams. Please make her well soon. Make her whole heart get all better. So she can take that trip around the world she always wanted to. You see, we all love Miss Adams an awful lot. It just ain't... I mean, it isn't nice to be sick. So make her well. Please, God, real soon. Who's there? Is that you, Mommy?
Oh, haven't they heard me? I don't want him to find me here. I'd better get back to bed. I don't think I want to eat anything after all.
Hiya, Dr. Christian.
Hello, Bruce.
Oh, hello, Miss Adams. What are you doing sitting on the edge of the bed?
Dr. Christian says I can get up today.
Wonderful. Jean told me you had good news for us, Dr. Christian.
Well, you said it had to do with David, Dr. Christian.
Now, I don't want either of you to build up any false hopes that may be knocked down. But you remember when David was born, I told you the corneas of his eyes were blurred. That maybe he'd never see unless someday an operation could be performed. Providing we could get a pair of good, healthy corneas.
Yes?
What are you trying to tell us, Dr. Christian?
A man named Sam Dennis here in Riversend is critically ill. And he heard about David and, well, he has willed his eyes to your son.
Oh, Dr. Christian.
David will be able to see. He'll be able to run and jump and play like any normal boy.
Just a second, Bruce. Just a second. I told you it's just a chance. It could just as easily fail as it could succeed.
No, it's not right, putting an old man's eyes into a young boy's head.
Well, age makes no difference to the cornea of the eye, Sarah.
It's still not right. It's taunting Providence.
Don't you want David to see?
No, not like that. Not through Sam Dennis's eyes.
Dr. Christian, you make all the necessary arrangements. We'll have David standing by the minute Sam Dennis dies.
Well, Judy, it's nice to see you come in.
Thanks. I know it's getting rather late, but Dr. Christian asked me to drop over and leave Miss Adams' medicine.
Well, that's very nice of you, Judy. Miss Adams and David have both gone upstairs to bed.
Oh?
Bruce and I were just sitting in the parlor talking. Come in. Judy Price, darling.
Hiya, Judy.
Hello, Bruce. Oh, I hope I'm not interrupting anything important.
Oh, you mean all those pamphlets and books on the floor? No, we were just trying to find out how much it costs to go to school.
School? Oh, you mean David.
Oh, no, Judy. Bruce.
Bruce?
Yeah. Miss Adams done so much talking about school and the advantages that a person with an education has, that, well, I figured maybe if I could get a decent education, maybe at nights I could get further with my job.
Oh, Bruce, I think that's grand. You mean Miss Adams actually convinced you of that?
Uh-huh. Never thought anyone could, but she has.
Well, there are a couple of things, though, that we just...
Yeah, can... number one, I don't know where to go to school. What to take up that'll do me the most good.
Well, I should think Miss Adams could set you straight on that better than anyone.
Well, but then there's the house and David, and I'll have to work to help out. And who'll take care of them while I'm working?
I could.
Miss Adams.
Oh, we thought you were upstairs.
I know, asleep. I was. But the doorbell woke me. Then I heard my name mentioned, so I came down to see who it was. And, well, if you really want to go to school, Bruce, and better yourself, and you really want to help out by working, Jean, well, I'll look after David and the house, too.
Dr. Christian, come in.
Where's David?
Upstairs. Jean just put him to bed. Wait a minute. Sam Dennis, is he...
Yes. Sam died about an hour ago.
Well, then we'll have to hurry. We'll have to get David to the hospital. We'll just throw a rope.
Oh, Bruce, wait.
But you told us the cornea lives only a few hours after death.
Bruce, please listen to me.
Something went wrong. What happened?
The relatives of Sam Dennis have refused to allow us to operate.
But you said he willed his eyes to David.
I know, but at the last moment, his relatives stepped in and contested it.
They can't do this. We'll take them to court. We'll fight them.
Oh, it would be a lost cause, Bruce. Because by the time we got a decision, one way or the other, the corneas would be useless.
I told you it wasn't right. It was against the will of Providence. Oh.
What's the matter?
Oh.
Oh, Sarah. What is it? Sarah, lean on me.
Oh. Jane. Oh. Sharp pain.
Bruce, give me a hand. We must get her to a bed.
What happened to her? She's had a stroke?
Not exactly a stroke. But her pulse is not good. Oh, just take it easy now, Sarah. We are here to help you. I got here as soon as I could, Jean and Bruce.
I can't believe it. She rallied so well after her attack last week.
Oh, Dr. Christian. Judy, I just went upstairs to her room to take her some broth. And there she was. It must have just happened.
No, Jean. There's nothing you can do for her now.
Oh, Judy, if you'll go upstairs and look after things, please. I'll be right up.
Of course, Dr. Christian.
And call the hospital and tell them to have things ready, Judy.
Yes, sir.
Where's David?
Upstairs in his room asleep. He doesn't know yet.
Good. You've got to move very quickly. You go upstairs, Bruce. Dress David and get him out to my car.
Your car? What's this all about? Where are you taking him?
To the hospital.
Hospital?
I guess I may as well explain. You see, I've known for some time that Sarah Adams would never get well again.
Did she know, too?
Yes, Jean. Why, you couldn't keep things like that away from Miss Adams. Well, what I'm trying to say is this. Last week, when Sarah collapsed, she knew herself that the end was approaching. She made me promise that the operation David was the night when Sam Dennis died would be made possible when she died.
You mean
She's willed her eyes to David.
Yes, and this time there are no relatives or anyone else to contest it.
But she said it was acting against Providence.
Oh, she meant that to give David Sam Dennis's eyes was evil. She never approved of Sam Dennis.
She wanted David to see the world with her eyes. Oh, bless her.
I feel like a complete heel. How could I ever have called Sarah Adams all those names?
Don't blame yourself, Bruce. We all know now that our old battle axe was a rather wonderful old girl.
And the curtain comes down on another Dr. Christian Prize play with our star, Jean Hersholt, waiting to greet you. But first, here is Judy Price.
I think the most wonderful person in the world is the mother who knows just what to do to keep her children happy and protect them from harm. Take these chilly fall days, for example, when the children are going out to play. The smart mother gets out the Vaseline lip ice and makes sure her children use it to protect those delicate young lips from chapping. Yes, for anyone going outdoors, Vaseline lip ice really guards against sore, cracked lips. It's handy to carry in pocket or purse to use whenever you need it. Yes, Vaseline lip ice quickly soothes chapped, sore lips, relieves the smarting, and helps them heal faster. It's just the thing for cold or fever sores, too. So ask for Vaseline lip ice at your drugstore tomorrow. It's another quality product of the Cheeseboro Manufacturing Company, owners of the trademark Vaseline.
Thank you, Rosemary DeCamp. And now here is Jean Hersholt.
Thank you very much. The author of tonight's play is Mrs. Margaret M. Lowbury. She was a kindergarten teacher before she married, and now she has a daughter who teaches kindergarten. So you see, she knows the heart of a teacher. Mrs. Lowbury's husband is county auditor of Los Angeles County. Next week, we plan to present another prize-winning play called Who Would Not Sing for David? By Earl Hamner, Jr. of Witch Mountain, Arkansas. We invite you all to join us again next Wednesday evening, and same time and same station. Until then, I'll say good night.
I imagine every woman has asked herself the question, what do men really admire in a woman's looks? Well, I can tell you this, every man admires soft, lustrous hair. And glamorous hair can be yours with the help of Vaseline Hair Tonic. Have you tried this home glamour treatment yet? If not, just try it next shampoo time. You'll find Vaseline Hair Tonic really brings a glowing luster, lovely highlights to your hair. First, massage your scalp with plenty of Vaseline Hair Tonic. Then, steam your hair with hot towels and shampoo it. Next, before setting, smooth on a few drops of Vaseline Hair Tonic. You'll see your hair take on that glamorous look you've always wanted. So use Vaseline Hair Tonic before and after every shampoo. It's wonderful and economical. 25 cents, 41 cents, or only 73 cents for the large economy size plus tax. Get Vaseline Hair Tonic tomorrow. Art Gilmore speaking. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.